Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to jump right into it with our frequent guest, Rusty Leonard. Rusty is an expert in the area of investing. He's also the founder and president of Stewardship Partners. Rusty, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks to be with you again. It's a great opportunity and a great privilege.
Well, Rusty, we're in the middle of what some call the Great Recession, and a recession impacts everyone. It impacts certainly employment and our job outlook. It impacts business owners, investors, churches, even ministries like ours. And some people are saying that this recession is drawing to a close. Has the recession ended?
Not officially, but it's sure it's starting to smell that way. It'll take some time before the people who are in charge of deciding such things make a final pronouncement. It'll be many months after the recession actually ends that they'll look back and say, oh, by the way, it ended back in June or July or May. But all the economic data that's coming out is now turning higher. And so when that starts to happen, that's when they're going to peg the end of the recession. That doesn't mean that things are wonderful. They've got a long way to go before they're wonderful. It just means that the economy has stopped declining and now is starting to improve. And it'll be a long workout process for us. And unemployment, of course, will continue to increase even as the economy improves. That's a typical pattern. It's a lagging indicator. So people on the ground, you know, may hear that the recession is over, but they may not feel it very much in their everyday circumstances.
So, Rusty, the numbers, the data that you look at and study are actually starting to turn positive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, not quite that, but getting very close to that. And some of them are turning positive, but there are indications. For instance, if you look at unemployment claims and you look at past recessions and you see where those recessions ended, when the decline in unemployment claims went down by an average of 43,000 over a four-week moving average, which is very statistical and too much to take in for your listeners. But nevertheless, they've hit those levels. We've already declined by 43,000 on the weekly unemployment claims, and that has typically been a trigger as to where the recessions have ended in the past.
And so, Rusty, some of our lead indicators are in the manufacturing sector, automobiles, those kind of things. They're getting better. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they are turning positive. We are seeing manufacturing start to kick in. And we think the next report will probably show us at above recessionary levels when it comes out. We know that auto sales have increased, and auto production, more important for the GMP, is going to jump dramatically in the third quarter. Third quarter GMP will be positive, almost everybody believes.
Well, Rusty, I know that many people have come out and said that we've got difficult days ahead and that the economy still is full of problems, and I want to talk to you about that when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with an economic outlook from our guest, Rusty Leonard.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking to Rusty Leonard about the Great Recession and whether or not it has come to an end. And Rusty, you're saying that when we look back, we may peg this time, it's possible that we're able to peg this very time right now as a time when the recession was actually ending. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Yep. Almost all forecasters believe that we will see some economic growth in the third quarter of 2009 and in the fourth quarter of 2009. And if those two things turn out to be the case, that almost assuredly they will have decided, the people who decide these things in Washington, that the recession ended probably in June, maybe even in May.
Well, that's terrific news. But does that mean that all of our economic problems are now gone?
Not at all. It's going to be difficult for people for a long period of time, and you're you know, it's a, we've gone down quite a ways. This has been a very long and deep recession, and it's been a global recession. And so there's a lot of repair work left to be done. It'll be feel better that we're moving in the right direction, but it won't feel anything like what it was prior to the recession for quite a period of time. So there's still much work to be done and a lot of improvement, and it'll just take time. And, you know, the federal government and the Federal Reserve have been doing their best to you know, push the economy forward. It's been a successful group of policies that have been put in place. Not all of them are perfect, as we can probably talk about later, but by and large, not only in this country but other countries, there's been tons of policies put in place to push the economy forward. It'll be interesting in the long run to determine whether or not we will dip into another recession at a later date after some of those policies wear out, or if we're able to get this economy on a self-sustaining growth track, and hopefully that'll be the case.
You know, Rusty, I know that some of the problems that we have are in the manufacturing sector. Give me some idea of the capacity at our current manufacturing output, and how is that going to improve?
Yeah, so we've lost quite a few jobs, of course, in the industrial sector of our economy. And so factories are operating at just 68.3% of capacity, which is a very, very low number. And it's even lower overseas. We've been hurt, but some of the foreign nations have been taken even lower in their manufacturing capacities, their capacity utilization of the factories. How that will improve will just be as a result of the economy starting to kick into gear. And as people start, the employment starts to move from a negative number to a positive number, which will happen over time, then you'll see people purchasing more things because they have the income to do so, and the factories will start to fill up again, and we'll slowly return to normal. But basically, nobody expects that return to normal to happen very quickly. I think one of the things you're also seeing right now that's helpful is that the housing industry, which has kind of been at the core of the whole problem in the United States at least, that you're seeing that housing industry start to settle out and not fall off the cliff as it was for so long. It's settling out and it's providing a foundation for it to improve in a longer-term perspective. And as that happens, that also will contribute to the economy. There's a new legislation out there, too, that just was passed called Cash for Clunkers. I don't know if you've talked about this at all, but it's another thing that will help those auto manufacturers. It's a piece of legislation that will reward people with some cash if they turn in their old fuel-inefficient cars and buy fuel-efficient cars. That has worked in other countries to jump their manufacturing, and it will help here as well when it gets fully implemented probably later this year.
Well, Rusty, we have talked about the legislation and the Cash for Clunkers bill because I qualify on two counts for that program. I'm not sure I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm a little concerned about the burden that places on the taxpayers, because it looks to me like the government's willing to overpay for some of those used car trade-ins.
Yeah, there's no question that that's what it is. It's a you know, full bore effort to stimulate the economy, and so it's money being transferred from one taxpayer to another, essentially, is what it amounts to. But it will hopefully be successful. It has been successful in at least temporarily raising the auto sales by significant amounts in other countries, and it has the long run impact of helping with pollution and things of that nature. But it's no question it's just a stimulative activity, and it will pull sales forward. Like, for instance, there'll be a lot of people who wouldn't have bought a new car, but with this incentive to do so, will now move that purchase forward. But that means they won't be purchasing next year or the year after when they normally would have. And so, it all evens out in the long run.
You know, Rusty, one of the overarching concerns for most people is the out-of-control federal debt. And when I look at how much debt we've already incurred, that our government's spending $2 for every dollar of its income, and now we have a new health care plan being proposed in D.C. that looks like it's just going to be a massive amount of more debt. What do you think about the health plan? Is that going to be good or bad for the economy?
I don't see how it could be good. I should, in a general term, obviously there's going to be certain aspects of people who are covered that weren't covered before. That's a good thing. But there's a cost to those good things. And unfortunately, our country's not in a position to pay for those things right now. So to a large extent, I think the current administration is out of touch with reality on this situation. While their motives are certainly pure and they want to do something that's helpful to the masses, there's so many aspects to this plan that are difficult to not be concerned about. You have to be concerned about several aspects of it, but the most important aspect is they're talking as much as $1.6 trillion of new spending over the next 10 years. That, and President Obama made it in his election campaign that he wouldn't tax anybody anymore except if he earned over $250,000. Well, those taxes, if he was to tax individuals only to fund that plan, that would amount to $375,000 in new taxes for each individual in that category of earning over $250,000 a year. So it's just, it's not possible. You can't make the numbers work. And so somehow, as the reality hits and the rubber hits the road, as it moves through Congress and that difficult legislative process, those things are going to be, hopefully, they will be hashed out. And no doubt what will come out of this will be a much smaller plan. If anything comes out of it, it will be a much smaller plan that doesn't cover everybody and really could be, they talk about how a committee got together to make a horse and they ended up with a camel or whatever. Well, it'll probably be something that is substandard. So it's hard for me in my position to see this plan, as well-intentioned as it is, to being the right thing at the right time. It seems like certainly it's the wrong time because we really don't have the money. We should be moving in the other direction in terms of cutting costs, not increasing the costs.
Well, I know that it's a popular concept, but it's unpopular in what it could possibly mean in terms of the tax burden, as you just expressed, Rusty. But it sounds like you're saying that you think some form of health care plan is going to get through this current administration, or Congress is going to pass it, and that we're going to end up paying for it one way or the other.
Yeah, I believe that that's probably the best bet right now because President Obama has made it the top priority on his agenda. He's basically guaranteed that we will get some plan out of this Congress that he can sign. But unfortunately, people have suggested that the legislative process is something akin to what it's like to make sausage. And so it's an ugly process. And as it goes through that process, I think there'll be a lot of compromises, and the plan that comes out the other end will probably be less than what anybody had hoped for.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back and continue our discussion with Rusty Leonard.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking to Rusty Leonard. And Rusty, when we left off, we were talking about the current administration's push for a comprehensive health care plan, and it looks to me like it's a no-win situation for the economy. Either we're going to have a massive increase in our taxes, or we're going to have a massive increase in our deficit, and I don't particularly think we can afford either one. Do you, Rusty?
No, I agree with you 100%. I do believe it's kind of a no-win proposition for the current administration, and they could be, from a political perspective in particular, they could be in great difficulty, because if they pursue this by simply additional deficit spending, which is not, doesn't look like the way they're going to do it, but if that's what they did, that would create a big burden on our bond market, would lead to higher interest rates, which would depress the economy and prevent the creation of the 3 million jobs that he's hoping to create. On the other hand, if they raise taxes to fund this very big, humongous health care proposal, they're going to have to raise taxes enormously, and that also would undermine the economy and prevent him from ever delivering on his promise to deliver 3 million-plus jobs and economic growth. And so that would put him in a lot of political hot water. Nevertheless, he really hasn't confronted that reality yet. So as we go through the process of the Obama administration, as well as the Congress and all the senators confronting these realities, I think that's going to be a difficult time. So it seems like a no-win proposition for the economy. There's really just no way around that. About the only thing that they can do will be to back away from it altogether, but that seems impossible as well because he's made it the center point of his administration's efforts to move forward.
Well, Rusty, let's talk about gold. One of the very popular questions that I get frequently is it time to buy gold? There's so much advertisement out there around gold, so many pundits pushing gold. And I think the fundamental concern is that the U.S. dollar is going to collapse and that gold is going to just go through the roof. And I personally believe we're at great risk of an inflationary period on the horizon, and that hedging in gold is a good idea. What do you think is going to happen with the U.S. dollar, and is gold a good investment?
We do own some gold stocks for our clients, so it's not like I'm completely anti-gold, but I do see the advertisements that have popped up, and I get concerned that people are probably not getting a balanced message on this. So I'm not as concerned as many are about the value of the dollar or gold prices soaring, but I do think that a wise investor who keeps himself fairly diversified, it's perfectly reasonable, given the many uncertainties that we face on the economic outlook, particularly on the longer term, not so much in the shorter term, to have some gold in your portfolio as kind of an insurance policy. But you have to be very cautious about how you go about buying that, because of the many headlines, scary headlines that are out there, there are a lot of people operating in this gold space that are not the most scrupulous of characters. And so I just urge your listeners to be extraordinarily careful with who they deal with, and be, especially if they're buying gold directly versus a gold company on the stock exchange or something like that, that they'd be, be very, very cautious with. They could easily get burned, even though it could be a situation where the premise that gold rises in values it works, but because of how they've purchased it, they never really get the full benefit of it. So I just, that'd be a real strong caution to people who are listening to this program right now. Now, in the short run, gold usually responds to inflationary pressures. And as you noted, there's concerns in the longer term about inflation. Right now, there really isn't much inflation. In fact, we're, the year-over-year price changes are negative, not positive, in recent months. So it's not, we don't really have inflation. We have, as we mentioned earlier, the factories are operating at very low levels. And so there's a lot of slack in our economy. And until that slack is taken up, there's not going to be a lot of inflationary pressures in the market. So for that reason, gold isn't as an exciting of a opportunity on a short to intermediate term. But longer term, when the chickens come home to roost with all the spending and deficits and everything else, there is a risk that we could have a weaker dollar and a rise in gold prices. So from a longer term perspective, I would more tend to say that that's a legitimate option right now, something that any wise investor would consider having a piece of their portfolio there. But I'm nowhere near as concerned as a lot of the headlines are. There's been a lot of talk about foreign countries not using the dollar. They really have no other option but to use the dollar. So that is more political talk than it is economic talk. You can run the numbers. You can see that they really don't have any other options. And so don't let yourself get concerned about some of these blaring headlines in the short run. But in the long run, there is reason to be thinking about these things and moving perhaps some of your money into investments like gold or other natural resources that might hold their value during a period when the dollar declines.
Now, Rusty, you mentioned that people are speaking of dumping our currency, and that would be specifically China and Russia. And there are people who believe that because of our escalating debt, that the U.S. dollar is in danger of collapsing. Do you see that as a high possibility of occurrence?
Not at the moment. We are still a very, very strong country, much stronger than most other countries, which was testified to by people's actions around the world during the crash. The dollar strengthened during the crash. People from around the world, including Russia and China, ran to the U.S. dollar as the currency to hide in. So they acknowledge by their actions that the U.S. dollar is still the strongest currency in the world. Both S&P and Moody's have recently highlighted again that the U.S. Currency of the U.S. as a whole, its debt and everything else, is still AAA rated, and they're not putting it on watch or anything else. They have no intentions of downgrading it anytime soon. So from a very short-term perspective, things are still okay. Our debt levels relative to our GNP are still less than most other countries, less than most of the countries in Europe, and far less than what's going on in Japan. So if you look at the data, we're nowhere near as bad off as most countries are in the world, and so there's a prospect in the future, if we don't get things improved, if our economy doesn't recover and our government doesn't get a hold of its finances, that things could get much worse. That's still many years off before we have to worry about a complete collapse. But that's still, again, that's not out of the realm of possibility, so you should keep that in the back of your mind. And, again, a little bit of gold in your portfolio, not too much. Don't put all your money in gold. That would be silly. But to have some in there as a diversifier is probably not such a bad idea.
And define not too much for me, Rusty, before we take our break.
10% or less.
10% or less. Okay. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back and continue our economic update with Rusty Leonard.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going through an economic update, a very thorough economic update with Rusty Leonard. And Rusty, one of the things that I think of when I think of the Great Recession is the meltdown that happened in our banking system. And so many banks stopped lending. There was a complete liquidity crisis. And the government threw what's called the TARP program at it, and it looked like a giant black hole, and it became hugely unpopular. But the data you're looking at indicate that that may have been a very good thing for the economy. Would you explain that?
Yeah, it was very key to the recovery that we've now seen and are seeing. If that TARP program hadn't gone through and the banking system, the confidence in the banking system hadn't been restored by the amount of money that was lent into our major banks, we could have had a complete calamity. So as much as that was an abused program, it was absolutely critical and key. But what we're now seeing is that it was so successful that for the better banks, the stronger banks, they've been able to start repaying that money way before anybody ever expected them to. So just in the past week or two, we've had about between $70 and $80 billion of the TARP money repaid to the U.S. Treasury, and there were pretty good returns to the U.S. Treasury on that money. They not only got their money back, which many people thought they never would, but they also got dividend payments on that, plus there was something called a warrant, which gave the government an opportunity to buy more stock in the future at attractive prices that these banks had to buy back as well. So it's been a pretty good deal for us individually as, you know, consumers and taxpayers that we were able to save the banking system, which was critical, and we've also got our money, you know, at least some of our money back pretty quickly with good returns on it.
And so what that means, it's a clear indication that our banking system is becoming more liquid, that we may be able to return to business as normal in terms of the credit markets. It also means that the government is not going to incur as much debt in the future and that we're not going to owe as many taxes in the future. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's $70 to $80 billion that the government won't have to borrow and that they won't have to pay interest on in the future because it's back in their coffers. They've gotten it back very quickly. You know, the loans were made last October, November, and they've got it already back here in June with interest and a little bonus payment as well when the company's had a buyback. Those warrants. In fact, it was pretty unfair to the banks that many of these banks actually didn't feel like they needed the money in the first place. They took it only because the government asked them to, so that none of the bad banks would look like they were all that bad. And so they've actually been penalized. They have a very legitimate gripe that they have to buy back these warrants and pay this, you know, pretty good returns, even though they didn't need the money. They took it only to be good citizens, essentially.
So, Rusty, contrary to its popularity, it's a very positive sign that our markets are back and working well.
Yeah, while the fixed income markets are not fully working at capacity, they are working much better each and every day, and it's been a real testimony to the free market system that we've been able to move back to where we are right now.
Well, Rusty, it's always a pleasure to have you on Money Life. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I always appreciate being with you.
And you've been listening to Money Life. We'll be back again tomorrow.